be seated. Father, we certainly acknowledge you as a God of peace this morning. And we acknowledge, God, that our world and our country need peace. Everyone seems to be at odds with everyone else, whether it is the color of our skin, the God we worship, our economic status, our educational status. We just seem to be divided. And I pray, God, for the church, particularly the church in America, that the church can be united, Father, regardless of our culture or our background or upbringing, that we could be united together under the banner of Jesus Christ, under the banner of the Holy Spirit, indwelling us, encouraging us, convicting us, directing us. And I pray, God, that the church could set the example of what it looks like to be someone who cares for his brother, who cares for his neighbor, for someone who considers the needs of others more important than their own. I pray, God, that we could be that example. May we be that example right here at Living Hope in our local community, God. May our friends, neighbors, co-workers, classmates, may they see us as someone who represents Jesus Christ, who lives like Jesus, who has an attitude like Jesus, who talks like Jesus, thinks like Jesus. I pray, God, in doing that, that those who don't currently know you will be drawn to you, and that we would point them to you, God, the only place for their salvation. We certainly have our own needs and wants and desires here at this family called Living Hope. I pray, God, for those who still are not comfortable enough to come to worship. I pray, God, that you will continue to be close to them and that they would worship you in their own space, in their own place. And they will worship you as one with their church family, that although we may not all be together physically, God, that we could be together in spirit. So be with those who are watching online this morning, God. Be with those who are seated in chairs here this morning, Father. And I pray, God, because we certainly have physical needs. We have relational needs and financial needs, emotional needs. And Father, we know that you know what each one of these needs are. So I ask, God, that your Holy Spirit will come upon each one of us, would direct us in a way, God, that would help meet our needs. And in doing so, God, we would not be encumbered in any way from going out and telling people about the love of Jesus Christ and be an example before them. And pray, God, specifically this morning that you would be with Pastor Mike, as he has that awesome privilege this morning of preaching your word. What a privilege. What a responsibility to stand up before others and tell them what your word says in an appropriate, proper manner. I pray, God, that Mike would be filled with your Holy Spirit and we would hear from you today, God. And then I pray you would challenge us, that you would give us ears to hear what's being said, God, and respond appropriately, as is our own situation. So thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place. Thank you, God, for meeting us in our kitchens and living rooms and wherever else people are watching us online. Thank you, God, that you're omnipresent. We don't have to wonder where you are because you're right there, wherever we are. I pray, God, that you would search our hearts and see if there's be anything that you need to change in us, God, and your Holy Spirit would challenge us, and we would give it over to you this morning, today. And in doing so, God, we'd be a little more like Jesus. So I say thank you, God, Thank you for what you're going to do in us and through us because of our time together. Thank you, God, for the changes you'll make in us this very day. Thank you for Mike, who will be your representative here this morning, God. And because of the changes in us, I pray, God, that we could go out next week and be a better example of who Jesus is. And we would look to tell people that we would not miss opportunities you put before us. So thank you, God. We pray this in that name that is called above all other names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to 1 Samuel. We're in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And the text is found in verses 1 through 11. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Sochar, which belongs to Judah. And they camped between Sochar and Azekah in Ephes Damim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had a bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not one of the Philistine and you the servant of Saul? Choose a man among yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
ever found yourself in a position where you felt totally intimidated? Ever? I know several years ago, I'll tell you a story from my past when my boys, Michael and Nathan, were small children. I found myself in a position of intimidation. It happened on a Saturday night. Usually I would pick the kids up on Saturday night and we would go someplace to eat. And this particular night, we went to Burger King in Malden. And we sat down to eat. And if any of you guys remember Mike and Nathan from when they were here and they were teenagers, they were rambunctious then, but they were worse when they were little kids. I got to tell you. So one of the things that used to drive me crazy about my kids, especially the oldest one, is Michael had this habit of imitating bodily noise function in public. And obviously, you know, I'm not going to have to go into descriptors for that. You know what I mean by that. And he would do it, and he would start laughing, and of course he'd get the other one going, and I would say, okay, calm down, and they would stop for 2 minutes, and then they'd start up again. Well, on this particular night, we're sitting in McDonald's, and they're doing their usual, you know, dog and pony show, and there's this other couple sitting across from us, and they were not pleased with Michael and Nathan's childish antics. In fact, they were getting kind of verbal and started making, you know, some comments and et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm saying, come on, guys, calm down. We've got to stop this. And the more I said calm down, the worse they got. Finally, in this couple, the husband completely lost his cool, and he got up from his table and started to go after my son, Michael. And I had to jump in between. Now, you get a picture of this. 5'5" Prestia against this 6'5" muscular dude who is ready to kill. And I knew I was overmatched. And, you know, I was trying to think my way through this. So I finally said, look, it's pretty simple. You're a big dude. I'm a little guy. I know you can wipe me out with one punch. But let me make this perfectly clear to you. You will not lay a finger on either of my children. Do you understand what I am saying? Do you get that? And he started to really freak out. Right about time, the manager came in and threw us all out. Saved by the manager, right? So it's interesting when you find yourself in situations like that. As I look back in that experience, I think in spite of my intimidation, I found the courage to stand up and protect my kids, even while being honestly scared out of my wits. I figured I was a dead man. I can relate this experience in my own life to kind of the scripture we read and to the story we just saw on the screen with King Saul and the nation of Israel as they found themselves at war with the Philistines. Now, obviously, we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17, and if you do have your Bibles, I would invite you to keep your fingers in there, keep an eye on it, because we're going to be jumping around a little bit. Now, thank you, Pastor Kevin, for reading that. I want to focus to start with on three very important verses in this, and that's verses 8 through 11. And here's what it says. Goliath stood up and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me, and if he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They were scared. They were being intimidated by this big dude. I think we can see from these verses here that King Saul and all of Israel were certainly overwhelmed by Goliath. And the scripture tells us that Goliath was a massive man, standing over 9 feet tall. The armor that he happened to be wearing weighed over 150 pounds, and the spear that he had a warhead that weighed approximately 20 pounds. This dude was nobody to mess with. What Israel needed was a champion to stand in the gap against this giant. Yet not one of the soldiers in the army came forward. It seemed as though Israel had already lost the battle and Goliath was simply tormenting them before going in for the kill. Let's face it. When we have been intimidated, either at one point or another of our lives, I think every one of us have faced some sort of a giant, and we probably have felt scared and almost overwhelmed at that situation that we have found ourselves in. Can this particular story help us to overcome these situations in our lives? I think so. I believe that there are some key principles here that we can learn this morning. So the first thing that I, as I studied this and kind of read through it again, is we have to remember we cannot lose heart. We cannot lose heart. When we're faced with giant-sized intimidations, people get discouraged. It's just human. Much of our country is discouraged right now with this COVID-19 thing, the endless lockdowns, job losses, and of course the virus itself. In many ways, the virus has become an intimidating giant for many of us, and during times like this, it's very easy to become discouraged. The nation of Israel obviously was discouraged in our story. Can you imagine what it was like to sit under the taunting of Goliath and what it was doing to the army of Israel? They had spiritually and mentally lost the battle, primarily because instead of focusing on God, they were focusing on themselves and on their situation. They put God in the background, if you will. David, on the other hand, did not. Instructed by his father Jesse to go and check up on his brothers, David arrives on the scene and finds the army cowering. And what does verse 24 says? It says this: when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Have you ever been there? Have you ever faced a situation that you just want to say, let me out of here. Let me just get away from this whole thing. I bet you have. I know I have. But David, on the other hand, was pretty incensed at the lack of courage of his fellow countrymen. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Motivated by the Spirit of God, David goes to King Saul and says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Let no one lose heart. If you want to overcome the fear and the intimidation that life can bring you, those giants that we all tend to face at times in our lives, we must not lose heart. And how do we do that? We do that by focusing in on God's plan for our life. Because I got to tell you, God's plan is far bigger and far greater than any fear or intimidation that you might be going through and you're facing today. Remember the words of Jeremiah the prophet. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a great promise. See, it takes an act of faith to overcome that fear and the anxiety that the giants in our lives seek to impose on us. I know from my own life what giants do in our lives. I'll tell you another story about myself. Junior high school. Of course, they call it middle school today, right? When I was a kid, they called it junior high school. It was probably one of the toughest times in my life. I had to deal with real giants. You see, I was the smallest kid in the eighth grade. And when you're the smallest kid in the eighth grade, that tends to make you a target, right? Tends to make you a target. And so, I don't like admitting this, but I literally fought my way out of the eighth grade. And with most of those fights, I lost. got pretty badly beaten up. Except for the last one. It was getting close to the end of the year, and frankly, I was kind of disgusted with myself for being afraid all the time. And on this particular day, a person, a young guy, who I thought had been a friend of mine in grade school, decided that he was going to take his shot, because everybody else had taken their shot. And once again, he was bigger and taller than me and a little bit more intimidating. And frankly, I don't know where the energy or the power or any of it came, but I found myself getting mad. And I found myself clenching my fist and boom, 5 punches to the face later, it was all over. Gone. Gone. Never again, from that time on, did anybody try to harass me or taunt me or try to beat me up. I had found the heart to overcome my giant and my fears. So why do these intimidating giants in life keep coming at us? Why do we keep facing them? We strive to do our best, to be our best people, to be the people, and hopefully seek to be God's person, but life is still full of giants, and each one of those giants seek to immobilize us with fear. I've come to learn that these are faith stretchers. In other words, God allows these experiences in our lives to stretch our faith and our dependence on Him for the heart and the strength to overcome those giants. The famous motivational speaker Og Mandino once said this: obstacles are necessary for success. I didn't like that story when I said that statement when I read it, but it's true. Obstacles are necessary for success. Every struggle and defeat will sharpen your skills and your strengths. Each rebuff is an opportunity to move forward. Turn away from them, avoid them, and you will throw away your future. The book of James puts it another way. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops weakness? No. Develops a way out the door? No. Develops what? Perseverance. Perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, we must not lose heart. Secondly, I think it's important for us to remember what God has already done in our lives. How often we forget, we get in the middle of a battle, whatever the case may be, and we forgot how God had delivered us from a previous experience, or whatever the case may be. Now, at this point in the story, David is having to have a face-to-face meeting with King Saul. And while Saul appreciated David's courage, he doubted his ability to contend with Goliath. David answered Saul's concern by drawing on his past experience with the Lord. And here's what he said: "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear has come and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now, Saul obviously was moved by David's courage, but he still wasn't convinced. I still think he wasn't convinced that David could handle the job. So in verse 38 and 39, we say Saul dressed David in his own tunic. That's another word for armor. And he put this coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet, and David fastened on the sword and the tunic, and he tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. He said, "I cannot go in these because I'm not used to them." And so he took them off. Don't you love it when you're dealing with the giants in your life, other people want to, quote, help you? Ever had anybody want to help you? You know, help you get through it, to help you? They don't know what you're going through. They don't understand, but they want to help you. That's what King Saul was doing, in one sense, to David. It's always easy for other people to give us advice. And while they may be trying to be helpful, I fear it in our emotional lives and from that perspective. You see, God is always active in our moments in weakness as long as we allow Him to be active in our moments of weakness. So let me ask you today, where are you at? What's God doing in your life right now? What kind of giants are you maybe facing? You know, I think it's important that we take notice of the Holy Spirit's action in our lives every day. However, drawing on the past can bring us both encouragement and comfort, even when the battle is raging on. Take a moment. Take some time this week. I want you to take some time this week and look back at a tough time in your life and remember how God helped you. I think that's important for us to do, to take an inventory every so often about what God has done in our lives. And I think you'd be amazed at the kind of things he's not only pulled you through, but probably saved you from. This is exactly what David was conveying to Saul. He knew that God had protected him in the past and that his relationship with God was up to date, and that enabled David to have faith in the fact that God would deliver him from Goliath. So we can't lose heart. We need to remember what God has done in the past, but we also need to remember that there is power in the name. There is power in the name. It's extremely important for us to remember that there is power in the name of Jesus. So many times in life, we try to face our giants in our own power only to fail. In this part of the story, the time had come for David to face Goliath. And Goliath again began his tirade of taunting and contempt. David was, by the power of the name, able to see right through Goliath's plan. All of this yelling and screaming was nothing but a smokescreen to make David lose faith. You know, when life is kind of coming in on you and you know that the enemy is attacking you, you've got to realize it's nothing but a smokescreen to detract you from keeping your focus on God. How many times in life have we made that mistake and only to realize that God was there for us if we just said, okay, it's all yours? But sometimes we just don't do that because the Bible calls us sheep, right? Why does the Bible call people sheep? Because sheep are dumb. You ever think about that one? Okay, fellow sheep? Anyways, I digress and we'll move on from here. So, after all of this yelling and screaming to make David lose faith, David has this incredible response. And here's what he says. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Does the whole world know that there's a God in your life, that there's a God in my life? Do we truly live as witnesses to the truth and the power of Christ in our lives? Or are we just going with the flow with the rest of the world? David prepared himself for battle and moved out just at the right time. You see that it was Goliath's contempt and anger, which was meant to intimidate David, actually became a weapon for David because it served to confuse Goliath. And in Goliath's rage and confusion, David was able to sling that stone and hit that dude right on the top of the head and knock him on his feet. And of course, we know what he did after that. Chop. Right? In his name, in the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, all things are possible. Do you believe that today? Say amen. Yeah. All things are possible. In his name, all battles are winnable. In his name, impossible becomes possible. The enemy of God's kingdom will always use to scare tactics and intimidation to scare God's people away from God's planned victory. But we are people of faith, and as people of faith, we have an enemy that we know about, and we have a weapon to deal with that enemy that he's never going to be able to contend with, and that's the power of prayer. I really appreciated the way you opened up the service this morning, Jim. You know, taking things to God in prayer is so important, and I pray that that's what we do every day. But I have to wonder sometimes about the way Christianity is in America, how much Christians are really praying today. But when we pray, we can do it in the power of his name, and it is in the power of prayer that we put on the full armor of God. You remember what Paul talked about in Ephesians? It says, put on the full armor of God. Not armor that doesn't fit. The full armor of God always fits God's people, always fits his disciples. So that when that day of evil comes, what can you do? You will stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm. with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and put on the helmet of salvation, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. The Word. And then pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with all this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Church, are we praying for each other in these days here in Living Hope? Are we praying that God will have His way in our lives? Are we praying that God will use us to His glory? Are we praying that God will fill these empty... Look around you. Look at these empty seats. These represent people's lives, people that we need to reach, that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I really believe that God has placed it on this church to bear witness on the North Shore. Church, what are we doing about it? Are we praying about it? Are we seeking God's face? Are we seeking God's plan? Or are we just sitting in the pews? I don't want to sit on the pews. I want to stand on the promises. That's what we need to do. You see, again, in His name, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Because I certainly know. I believe that. Let me wrap up the message this morning with a couple of concluding thoughts. In this war of intimidation by our enemy, we have to realize that it is not really our battle to fight. David killed Goliath. He would, as he would say to him, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is whose? It's the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. So, church, will we be removed from the battle? Probably not. Probably not. I do believe, however, that when we seek God in prayer, that when we remember who our God is, that when we don't lose heart, but when we remember what God has done in our past, He will keep us through the battle, and He will deliver the victory to us. Again, it comes down to a question of faith. How big is your faith? Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain to get up and jump into the sea. Do we have faith the size of a mustard seed? Or maybe, hopefully, faith that's even a little bit bigger, you know, like maybe the size of a pumpkin seed or, you know, whatever seed you want. I mean, I think the example is pretty clear here. Jesus is saying, have faith. A big faith consists of confidence in Christ's power that will enable us to have the courage to face the enemy, to kill the giant, and the will to follow through when being challenged. As the scripture tells us, we must stand firm even when we want to run away. When we stand firm in faith and with courage and with confidence in His holy name, nothing we face in this life can intimidate us or overwhelm us. In fact, the Lord is with us at every one of these trials, whether they are giant or tiny. When we stand with Christ, the Apostle Paul says this, in all these things we are more than defeated? No, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's intimidating you today? What giant are you being threatened by today, this morning? Will you put it in His hands and call on His name? Remember, the battle belongs to Him. He will walk with you through the battle. Will you trust God completely, fully with your life? Not part of your life, not 90% of it, not even 99% of it. Will you trust God 100% with your life, with all you're going through? Today is the day that we must decide to trust God completely. And when we do that, let's watch what He will do as He transforms each of us into giant slayers. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we are grateful for your word, and we thank you for the testimony of David, your servant, in this story from so many thousand years ago. And while it was an ancient battle, the principles stand firm and true today. Father, we know that we have an enemy in our souls who wants to just take us down and hold us back. But I pray, Father, that whenever we face these battles in life, these giants, whether these giants are physical or emotional or spiritual, whatever they may be, Father, that we would remember not to lose heart, that we would remember that you have brought us through other things before, and that we will remember to pray in your name to overcome these things. I pray that you would be with each of my friends here today, each person who calls you Lord and Savior. And I pray, Father, that each one of us would trust you completely and fully to be delivered from the giants in our lives. And we'll be careful to give you all of the honor and the praise, for we do pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.